gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program once again on this wonderful Wednesday. Pray that you are having a fantastic day and that you know that God's going to order your steps and direct your path, going to accomplish great things today. So I want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work, you can give them a call. I figure there might be a few construction people out there that they would primarily be the ones that would need something like this, but you might be in one of those older homes where you've got Orangeburg pipe that you've got to have dug up out from underneath your driveway, or you know, a new patio poured or something like that. Whatever, you might have a new addition that you're putting onto the house, and if you need block or concrete work, you can give them a call, 321-536-5804. There's one thing that I have never really done, felt qualified to do, ever wanted to try or anything like that, and that's laying block. When I was growing up, I had a hard time staying inside the lines when it came to coloring and stuff like that. So, putting up a block wall really never seemed like it was in my wheelhouse as far as my strengths go. But it is in the folks at Jits Concrete. They've got decades and decades of experience. They will get the job done, get it done right, get it done as quickly as can be accomplished. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be thankful that you didn't do that yourself and that you had the professionals to do it. That's Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. And so today we want to let you know we're going to be having Bible study tonight at 7. We've got our youth group meeting tonight at 7, and they're talking about, I believe this is the last week for them in Who is the Holy Spirit? And we've been going through that series with them, because how many of you know that you don't have to be an adult to have some serious issues? And here's another little secret. You don't necessarily need an adult who will come in and be able to touch heaven for you. You just need a living, breathing, born-again believer who knows that their God is able to do great things, who can stand in faith with you, agree, and touch heaven with you, and watch as God moves heaven and earth to meet that need. That's what we're trying to instill in our young people, whether it's our kids, our youth, or our adults. We want them to know that through Christ they are more than overcomers, and that not only did the Father send Jesus, but Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, so that we would not be helpless, we would not be left without a covering, we would not be left without help. He sent the Holy Spirit to be one called alongside to help. And so that's what the young people are talking about at 7 o'clock tonight. And I'd like to invite you out to that service, 7 o'clock, whether it's youth, for those under 18, or for those over 18, we have adult Bible study. So we're going to go back to Psalm 18 this morning, Psalm 18 and verse number 32. Psalm 18, verse number 32, and it says this: "It is God who arms me with strength." Let's go back to verse number 31. "For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under my feet, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the street. So we're going to be talking today about God's deliverance. We've talked about several aspects. It is true that there is an aspect of deliverance where if you are in bondage to a stronghold of the enemy, that God will come in and he will break those yokes. He will break those chains. He will set the captives free. There is that aspect of deliverance, not minimizing it. We all need it. There is also the aspect that we spend a great deal of time talking about where God delivers us from evil by equipping us with the Word of God. We specifically talked about the Ten Commandments, where we hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against him. So it is a preventative approach where he delivers us from future evil by implanting the word of God in us in advance so that we do not find ourselves in unnecessary battles. Today I want to talk about a third aspect of God's ability to deliver. And it is that he makes us powerful. He arms us. He equips us. He positions us that if we do find ourselves in a spiritual struggle, that we know that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. So it says, "For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God?" I had to make a trip last week over to Orlando. I was on a hospital call. Ended up being a very long trip. It was a rush hour traffic. There was an accident. There were roads that were closed. People were all trying to get the same place that I was. My GPS took me to the wrong branch of a hospital chain. I was trying to avoid I-4. I could have got there very simply on I-4, but I was trying to avoid that traffic nightmare that is the I-4 Ultimate Project. And instead, it took me to the wrong hospital. It took me the right direction. It just didn't take me to the right place. And so as I was coming back, there was some abnormal programming. It wasn't the normal person's, you know, that would fill that time slot. And a person said a statement like this: "Oh my Lord," whichever Lord it is that you choose to call on. And, you know, that might sound witty and things like that. It might sound humorous and tolerant, but I want you to understand that it is not a matter of calling upon a Lord. It is calling upon the Lord. And only the God of the Bible is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so here in Psalm 18, verse 31, "For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God?" We realize that it is not just sincerely believing in something that changes your situation. It is sincerely believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of Almighty God. You see, there are a lot of people who sincerely believe things, but they're wrong. Okay, I look at the situation that we face in our country, and there are a lot of people who are extremely passionate about believing things, but there is a detachment from the things that they believe and the actual reality that exists. And so when it comes to that situation, I realize that I'm going to need the Holy Spirit more than ever in order to communicate to them in a manner that is not going to enrage me, and it's going to be able to get a message across to them. Thank God that we have a God who is approachable. Thank God that He is a God who wants to help us. He's not looking to make us weak. He is looking to make us strong. Do you remember what the serpent told Eve in the Garden of Eden? Well, God's holding out on you because He knows that if you partake of the fruit of this tree, then you're going to be just like He is. And He can't, you know, basically, He says He can't handle the threat to His throne. Now, if anybody knew how God dealt with threats to His throne, Lucifer is certainly skilled in that. It is, if you rise up in rebellion against the throne room of God, it is not a fight that is filled with touch-and-go moments and ebbs and flows. It's simply the Lord opening up His mouth, the sword of the Spirit going forth, and He says, "Be gone." And you are removed from His presence. So a threat to God's throne is no threat at all. So it is not God holding out. You know who holds things back? It's the devil who holds back truth. It's the devil who will not disclose to those who are under his influence what the reality of the conditions are that they're dealing with. It, you know, believe it or not, as much as we all like to think ourselves as invincible, we're not invincible. We're not. We need God for our very next breath. So God is not concerned about having to hold back. In fact, He is looking to equip, to fortify, to build up the people of God because we are His chosen people, His covenant people, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. The church is people that God has called together, and He says, "I want to walk in covenant with you." And He is not a domineering despot. He is a loving God who wants to equip with strength. In a day and time when women in many parts of the world were viewed as nothing more than property, God had Proverbs 31 written to write about this virtuous woman who is excellent at everything that she puts her hands to. You will read about prophetesses and deaconesses. You will find about women of great faith in the Word of God, because God says, I'm not in need of more property. What I'm looking for is an individual that I can work in their life in such a way that I can arm them with strength. Okay? Sooner or later, temptation is going to come your way. And the most effective way of dealing with that temptation is to know the Word of God and to know the God of His Word. And whenever there is a distortion or a twisting, a manipulating of the Word of God, that that you can say, "This word was not given to me in order to compromise my faith in God or compromise the life that God wants me to lead. It was given to equip me to stand up victorious in the face of adversity." And so David writes here, "It is God who arms me with strength." Are you okay if God makes you stronger? I ask the question seriously because there are so many people who have been labeled all their life as victims or underdogs, or they just can't catch a break. There's so many different things that when we realize that we are equipped with strength by God for the spiritual warfare that we deal with. I mean, there's a reason that Ephesians chapter 6 is in the Bible. It's because we need it. Stand, therefore, and having done all, stand. I think it's in there 4 or 5 times. Stand and praying in the whole Holy Spirit. Standing always. You know, there is so much that's in there, and we talk about the individual components of the armor of God and do all sorts of illustrations with that. But the purpose is to come back from the spiritual battle victorious. David realized that he came from very humble beginnings, but he realized that the God who was operating in his life was operating from a position of strength, position of character. And he said, it is God who arms me with strength. And remember, God is omnipotent. We can rely upon his strength. There is never going to be a force that comes against God that is going to overwhelm him. Whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard and the enemy flees in retreat. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. And I think I mentioned this a few broadcasts ago, but my wife and I were having a conversation and, you know, she was asking about this. And my perspective of this is that God is quickening by the Holy Spirit this truth to David, that God is going to give him the ability to go places that his enemy cannot go, that those who are pursuing him cannot reach. You have a safe place in Jesus. A lot of times. You will see businesses that have the Safe Place logo, and it shows a person hugging a child there, where if you are being trafficked or you've been kidnapped or something, you can go to a certain place, and they will take that as a very, very serious thing. They will deal with you not from a doubtful place, but a place of safety and a place of refuge. Churches should be safe places. They should be places where you can come and the enemy cannot have any influence there. And I'm not just talking about a physical sense. I'm talking about a spiritual sense. Wouldn't it be great if every Christian operated from the principle of do no harm? That would be fantastic. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We realize that the enemy does not intend to leave the church to its own devices. He infiltrates with wolves in sheep's clothing that are there to devour, not to edify. He sends people in to compromise the word of God, to compromise behavior, so that credibility is lost. All you got to do is read about the churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 3, and you will realize that there are intentional strategies employed by Satan to try and undermine the effectiveness of God's people and God's church. There are people who will try and compromise the integrity of God's word. But I will tell you that there is a place that you can run and the devil has no access. And that is, you can run to the throne room of heaven. You have the ability to call upon God anytime, any place. And when you are walking in covenant with him, it's not if the Lord is present, he is present. The Bible says that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. I remember when God brought that passage to life in my life, and I shared this message with those at Merit Assembly of God, that whenever we are standing there as a body of believers, God says, I'm right there in the middle of it. I heard at Promise Keepers, a guy said, you know, that's such a miracle that, you know, God says, I'm going to have to go see that myself. I've got a different take on it than that. And that is this, that God comes, he sets up his throne. The saints are united around the problem, and God establishes his throne right on top of the problem and crushes that thing under his feet. I tell you that today, if you are facing adversity, that you can run to Jesus, you can find safety in a place that your enemy cannot pursue you. And it is not that you are running from your enemy, it is that you are running to Jesus, so that Jesus will equip you with strength, give you the strategy that is necessary, and you will see the victory. It goes on in verse number 34, and it says, he teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Okay? He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. There are a lot of people say, well, I just don't like to fight. I just want to love people. Well, let me ask you this question. If there was a wild animal that came in and started attacking one of your kids or one of your grandkids, would you just sit back and say, well, you know, I just need to pet that animal over there. I just need to stroke it and make sure that it knows that we're not a threat to it. All the while that thing is attacking your child or your grandchild? I don't think so. I don't think that's how you would respond. See, my wife and my kids, we will oftentimes walk around the neighborhood together, and we take our dogs as well. One night, my daughter and I were walking, and there was, we were out in the street. Her dog does better walking in the street than on the sidewalk. There's less distractions out there. And there were two dogs that got out of a house, and they started attacking this very peaceful dog that we have. They would have made a nice snack if they had really aggravated this dog, it would have had a different outcome. And so immediately my daughter went into protective mode, and it took a while before we were able to get the attack to stop. She wasn't seriously injured or anything, but I tell you that story to let you know that we're not intended to be docile people. We are equipped with the Word of God to take the encounter with God that we've had into enemy territory, because there are still people that are being held captive that Jesus wants to see liberated and set free. We need Jesus to teach us and to give us the strategies that we need to employ so that the kingdom of darkness does not prevail against the people of the living God. Well, I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. There's got to be something that you would fight for. You know, we are told to contend for the faith. I'm one who contend. I mean, my wife and I are coming up on a milestone anniversary later this year. But I will tell you, not everything has been peaches and cream in the marriage. There have been times where we had to contend for that relationship. God wants to teach you. Now, there are some strategies. You know, if you're talking about there's an attack on your marriage, you need to realize that God will give you strategies. He will say, okay, this is what we need to do to restore peace. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be forgiveness. There needs to be a change of behavior. There needs to be an ability to control your tongue. There needs to be the ability to control your emotions. I will tell you this, that in the military, they teach you battle strategies not when you are in the midst of adversity, but before you get into adversity. Too many Christians squander the tranquility that God has blessed us in our lives until there's a crisis, and then we try to take the crash course on how do we get out of this crisis. When I think that if we would allow God in our peaceful times to train us on how to handle the adversity that the enemy brings our way, that we would find that our crises would be a lot more short-lived. The battle would be over. I love the fact of how quickly battles end when the word of God goes forth. I love to read in Revelation, you know, here comes Jesus and the armies of heaven, and the sword of the word of God goes out of his mouth, and boom, his enemies are done. It's not a long, drawn-out battle. You know, in movies, they've got battles that last for a long, long time. Truth of the matter is, your adrenal system kicks in, and you burn through that pretty quickly. You need to know how to handle the crisis in a godly way, so that you come out victorious, and it's handled very, very quickly. God teaches my hands to make war. Do you know how to pray in such a way that you know that God's heard you, and you know that you're praying in accordance with the will of God, and you know that God's going to give you the victory? If not, I pray that you will find yourself signing up for God's class, to where he will teach you how to engage in spiritual warfare. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Avail yourself of that. We'll talk more about this passage tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program. You have a marvelous Wednesday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Jesus' name, let